Long ago and far away, I received the gift of ministry from a congregation I served. I once found myself scanning the supply closet for craft project components with a teen I'll call Hannah, a fun and kind person, but with the habit of deflecting any chance of personal revelation with a joke at her own expense. I had given up asking her thoughtful questions, but while we were grabbing glue, magazines, and those creepy googly eyes, I made casual conversation by asking how she was doing. The floodgates opened. She told me about her family post-divorce, a friend's drug problem, and her own self-harm behavior. Instinctively, I turned to face her as a way to honor her with full attention. "Don't look at me," she shrieked. "No eye contact. It's too judgmental." I pivoted to a parallel position, trying to absorb not only her sharing, but also this great lesson that sometimes people need subtlety, even privacy, as they risk showing themselves. Sometimes we need the attention of the spotlight without the harsh light. From this act of ministry, Hannah coaching me to expand the ways I knew how to listen, I now know that the best way to talk about school trouble with my 9-year-old is side by side while we're making omelets. Meaningful fellowship connections happen on the sly too, like before we formally open the agenda at a Zoom committee meeting, when I'm still rustling papers and someone is finishing a cup of tea. The fellowship has also been a place where I have received ministry. In my second year here, I was your only minister when the then senior was on sabbatical during our major building expansion. Dust and grime coated every surface. I will never forget a guest minister cringing upon entering our badly lit, plywood-covered sanctuary. Staff and lay leaders were constantly bombarded with decisions about outlet cover colors and whether we could afford to even build the legacy room. It was a brutal schedule. During this difficult period, a member I'll call Tom invited me to see a band on a Saturday night at a nature center I'd never heard of called Boobolts. "No thanks," I said semi-politely, since apparently he didn't understand that I had to work every single second of every single waking moment. "Are you doing anything to relax and enjoy life?" he asked. The more I thought about it, the more my annoyance faded. I wasn't actually doing anything fun. "No pressure," Tom concluded, "but we'd love to see you, if it works out." I put in an appearance. The music was fun and uplifting. I felt myself draw a full breath. A tiny space blossomed. I left early. Sunday morning comes so swiftly for preachers. And stood alone in the cold of the starlit parking lot. I could see a big patch of darkness that beckoned in the distance, promising extensive walking trails. Eventually, I checked them out, pleased at having been introduced to the place. Fast forward to last March, when school shut down. My family hasn't talked much about this, but my spouse, Amy, was incredibly seriously ill for about 7 weeks, and I was fighting panic about her well-being and my capacity to hold it all together. The first day without school was brutal. I didn't even realize I was murmuring prayers under my breath until the kids kept insisting that I was, in fact, talking to myself. Day two was what my children delicately refer to as ass cold. Charming, right? But the second we finished breakfast, I bundled them up and out. I turned up the minivan radio so they wouldn't ask where we were going, and I drove us around aimlessly, trying to collect my thoughts. What to do? Where to go? Boobolts. Go there we did, tromping around in the icy woods until the kids were worn out and I was calmer. We've been back countless times, sometimes many times a week, for a quick visit to the pond or longer excursions with water bottles and bug spray. As the weather gradually warmed, peaked, and now still, as the temps plummet again. It's been a source of adventure and play for the kids and absolute sanity for me, and for Amy too, once she was able to be out and about. All thanks to Tom's ministry. These are some images I've captured across the months. My second story about ministry you all have treated me to is set 5.5 years ago. Through foster care, Amy and I welcomed two children into our family, not knowing that their other two siblings would join us a few months later. Well, as soon as folks around here noticed I had children in tow, the fellowship swung into gear. A handful of beautiful meals appeared, staggered to arrive every few days. One included a delicious smoothie and the stunningly successful suggestion that we present it as monster juice to make the spinach color more palatable. It was a challenging period of settling in, but thanks to the ministry of home-cooked meals, we didn't have to fret about dinner. Tiny space. The many forms of the fellowship's ministry that I and others have received, thanks for that, by the way. They are owned and carried out by all of us. Any among us can reach out to one another. And yet care and connection are the special domain of the care team. In case you haven't encountered these fine folks yet, let me make some introductions, because they and the work they do are the whole point of the service this morning. They represent something special about the fellowship. These people have made the commitment to check in on you and be there for you. They do this on behalf of me and the ministry team, but also on behalf of the whole congregation. Members of the care team apply for this role. They are specially trained in how to offer support for whatever life has thrown in your path, whether it's a joy you're processing, a terrible sorrow, or some other kind of discernment, or trauma, or intense experience. As part of this commitment to continued learning and growth, as responsible, reflective providers of emotional and spiritual care, this year, we, that's the care team, our intern minister, Ali Peters, and I are reading and discussing a book about listening. Here is a little taste. This is the kind of listening that creates what my colleague Marta Valentin talked about in her words that became our call together. In this tiny space where I end and you begin, hope lives. Holding that kind of tiny space is the mission and practice of the care team, and it happens when we listen. Listen is a word I used to think of as practical and secular. I still understand and respect those qualities of this important word. But the more I am a minister, and the more I receive ministry from all of you, the more I cannot encounter it without hearing its religious implications. Listen has become part of my vocabulary of reverence, along with words like spirit and God, love and care, ministry and fellowship. The word fellowship is itself a word from Christian theology that liberal Christians use to describe deep companionship that happens among and between equals, or to use the gendered root, between and among fellows. This equality is foundational to Unitarian Universalism. Ours is not a model where ministers with our exclusive pipeline directly to God take pity on lowly lay folk who are but empty vessels waiting to be filled with spiritual knowledge. No way. To us, congregations are where people dwell together in mutual community, each with gifts and needs, each knowing something important. Our theology says that ministry is shared between clergy and lay people. There are practical implications here, and they especially reside in the care team and its role. In Unitarian Universalism, ordination, which is powerful and sacred, does not bestow divinity. It does title ministers. That's why I'm the Reverend Leah Ongiri. My title indicates expertise and authority. I have a terminal degree in my field. It took a decade of love, labor, and learning for me to reach full fellowship with the Unitarian Universalist Association. 98% of fellowship members voted to call me as your associate minister. I am empowered to lead in clearly defined ways. And yet, there is nothing I can do as professional minister that any of you cannot also do for each other as acts of lay ministry. This makes us noteworthy among many other faith traditions. In Unitarian Universalism, lay people, that's you, are allowed to be in the pulpit, regardless too of race, age, gender, and other demographic markers. You can lead worship and preach sermons as a layperson. You can officiate rites of passage, such as child dedications, memorials and funerals, and if the governing board files the proper paperwork, even legal weddings. When we do a Transylvanian Unitarian communion on Christmas Eve, lay folks sometimes work with the ministers to offer it. Don't get me wrong. I specialize in this stuff and believe I have unique skills and gifts to offer in the arena of professional ministry. But my title and I are not necessary for it to happen. Lay people also set theological agendas. For example, two members recently contacted Reverend Christina to ask for explicit acknowledgement of mounting COVID deaths with a moment of silence in worship. In Wisconsin, over 1,500 people have died from COVID and the disastrous way the virus is being allowed to spread. In the U.S., we have lost over 250,000 lives. Globally, the death toll is well over 1 million. These are all very conservative estimates. And the numbers keep climbing, especially in this country and this state in particular right now. Later in the service, when we have our customary time of silence, let us hold this grave injustice and deep tragedy in our hearts. The invitation to do this comes from the ministry of the lay leaders who initiated this opportunity. There is a term for when people share ministry like this, on equal ground before the ground of all being. Lay ministry. Our care team prefers the less assuming title of care team, rather than lay ministers or even pastoral care, because they want to use the most approachable language possible. They want you to understand that they are available to you. They hope you will make use of them. Please do. Let me know so that I can connect you with a wonderful listening presence. Who couldn't use that every once in a while, especially these days? What the care team does, regardless of what they call themselves, is in fact a ministry. This ministry of listening, of care and connection, of co-creating the tiny spaces that each of us need at one time or another, is available to all of us to both receive and to offer one another. This is what we mean when we say that we are a democratic religion. We share the power. We share the ministry. Thank you for sharing this ministry with me. And amen.